Welcome! Today, we're going to take a tour of one of the most incredible pieces of engineering on the entire planet, the muscles of your lower body. Seriously, think of it as this unseen machinery that powers pretty much everything you do. So, let's get this tour started.
I mean, have you ever really stopped to think about it? That complex web of muscles that just fires up every single time you stand up, sprint for a bus, or climb a flight of stairs? It's like a perfectly coordinated orchestra of power, and you're the one conducting it. So that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to explore this amazing machinery from the top down. We'll meet the key players, uncover some of their surprising roles, and yeah, find a few fascinating secrets along the way.
Okay, before we meet all the individual muscles, we need a map, a blueprint, right? So we'll start by breaking it down into three major regions. This is going to give us a really simple framework that makes the whole system so much easier to understand.
First up, the hip. Now, unlike your shoulder, which is all about a massive range of motion, the hip is a deep, stable ball and socket joint. Its job isn't just about movement, it's about generating some serious power and giving you a rock-solid foundation for everything else.
Moving on down, we've got the thigh. In anatomy speak, this is specifically the area around your femur, that big, long bone between your hip and your knee. Just think of this area as the engine room. It's where you'll find the massive muscles that produce those big, forceful movements.
And finally, we have the leg. Okay, this is a really crucial distinction, so listen up. In everyday language, we call our whole lower limb a leg. But anatomically, the leg is only the section from the knee down to the ankle. This is where all the muscles for fine-tuning your foot and ankle movements live. So, to recap our map, hip, thigh, and leg. Got it? Okay, with our blueprint set, let's really begin.
Our first major stop is the power center itself, the hip. This is the command hub. It's where stability for your entire body kicks off, and it's where the force for propelling you forward is born. Now, we're not going to get lost in the weeds naming every single muscle here. Instead, we're going to focus on the two most important groups, the famous gluteals, which you've definitely heard of, and their lesser-known but absolutely critical partners, the deep lateral rotators.
Let's start with the hero of the group, the gluteus maximus. I mean, the name itself just tells you it's massive, right? And for good reason. It is the single most powerful muscle for extending your hip. Every time you stand up, climb stairs, or run, you are firing up this absolute powerhouse.
Okay, now let's go a little deeper. Right underneath the glutes, to a hidden sidekick called the piriformis. It's the biggest of a group of six small muscles known as the deep lateral rotators. Their main job? To rotate your thigh bone outwards. But the piriformis has a fascinating little party trick.
And here is that party trick.
Normally, the piriformis rotates your leg out. But get this, when you bend your hip past 90 degrees, like when you pull your knee all the way up to your chest, its line of pull completely flips and it starts rotating your leg in, a total role reversal. How amazing is that?
Now, why does this matter? Well, it's not just some cool anatomy fact. Your sciatic nerve, the largest nerve in your entire body, usually runs right underneath the piriformis. This really close relationship is why a tight or irritated piriformis muscle can sometimes lead to that sciatic-like pain, a condition a lot of people are unfortunately all too familiar with.
All right, from the power center of the hip, let's travel down to the thigh. This is that engine room we talked about, where you'll find these beautifully balanced forces that control your knee.
And this slide illustrates that partnership perfectly. So on the front of your thigh, you've got the quadriceps. They straighten your knee. And on the back, you have the hamstrings, which do the opposite. They bend your knee. They are a classic example of what's called an agonist-antagonist pair, working in perfect opposition to create smooth, controlled movement.
But hey, the thigh is more than just those two great groups. Let me introduce you to the sartorius. It's actually the longest muscle in your entire body. It's a thin strap that kind of snakes its way from the outside of your hip all the way down to the inside of your knee. And its unique action is what lets you cross one leg over the other, just like an old-world tailor sitting down to work, which is exactly where it gets its name, from the Latin word sartor.
And speaking of the inside of the knee, let's look at a really cool anatomical landmark. This is the pes anserinus, which is Latin for goose's foot, and you're probably asking, why on earth is it called that?
Well, it's because the tendons of three totally different muscles, the sartorius, which we just met, plus the gracilis and the semitendinosus, all come together and attach at this one single point on your shin bone. And their combined shape? It looks just like the webbed foot of a goose. It's just a fantastic example of the body's incredible efficiency. Okay, we've arrived at the final stop on our tour, the knee and ankle. This is your foundation. These are the structures that are responsible for shock absorption, for fine control, and for translating all that power from your hip and thigh into real effective movement against the ground.
The knee itself is just a marvel. It might seem like it's just a simple hinge, but it has this impressive active range of motion of about 150 degrees. That's the difference between having your leg completely straight and bending your heel all the way back to touch your glutes.
And below the knee, in what we now know is actually the leg, we have another one of these balanced partnerships. The big calf muscles, the gastrocnemius and soleus, they pull on your Achilles tendon to point your foot down. That's called plantar flexion. And then on the front, the tibialis anterior pulls your foot up. That's dorsiflexion. These two opposing actions, they're the primary drivers of walking.
And for one last little piece of anatomy trivia, tucked away in the calf is this tiny little muscle called the plantaris. It's so small, and its tendon is so incredibly long and thin that it's earned it nickname the freshman's nerve. Why? Because apparently first-year medical students mistake it for a nerve all the time during dissection.
So, we've toured the machinery. But you know, the most incredible thing about this whole system is that it's not static. Not at all. It's alive, and it adapts to whatever demands you place on it. It can change, it can grow stronger. But how? How does that actually happen?
This brings us to our final and really crucial question. When you exercise and your muscles get bigger and stronger, what is physically changing? Are you creating brand new muscle fibers out of thin air, or is something else going on with the fibers you already have?
The answer is a word called hypertrophy. Your body doesn't actually add more muscle cells. Instead, the individual muscle fibers you've had all along, they just increase in size. They get bigger, they get thicker, and they become capable of generating more force. So the big takeaway here is this. The powerful machinery we've toured today has the built-in potential to become even more powerful. You already have all the parts, you just have to challenge them to grow.